Our soundtracks are personal things. How we go through the day and hear the day changes a great deal about how we see the day. We have computers that say, I know exactly the song that you need to hear right now, because they just know us that well. The sounds of Christmas, at least of cultural Christmas, have been with us since the middle of October or so. They're there to induce the necessary buying frenzy that the season requires, and every public space has been filled with it. The voices of the popular culture, Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, and all the rest, that underscore the Christmas season. Every pop star worth their salt seems to publish their version on the hits sooner or later. For me, my soundtrack has a healthy dose of the Messiah, often with my father's voice singing the tenor solos. Add in that a good dollop of John Denver and the Muppets, and that's what we need. Also, for me, Christmas Eve is about being stuck in the back of an early 80s Honda, listening to AM radio that seemed to put the little drummer boy on repeat. That's how we got to Grandma's house, after all. When we think of the sounds of Christmas, we're taken to the cultural niceties of the season. Yet, as you heard, the real sounds of the season were not always nice. The voice of those waiting in anticipation for their glimpse of God's salvation, wondering aloud, how long, O Lord? The peculiar tone of the prophets proclaiming in the wilderness, repent, for the time is near. The wonder-filled promises given in dreams where the unbelievable is asked to be accepted and lived into. The sounds of Christmas include the cries of a long humanity waiting for the world to change, of a frightened family invited into faith by the unbelievable, as well as the mundane sounds of a stable where incarnation is born. But it doesn't stop there. If you read long enough in Matthew's story, you hear far more discordant sounds. The inconceivable wailing of the massacre of the innocents as Herod tries to hold on to power the only way he knows how. The sounds of running, afraid for life and limb, Egypt as refugees. In short, the sounds of Christmas, of real Christmas, are the sounds of life and living. Sometimes sweet, sometimes scary, loud, raucous, all of the above is the sound of the way of the Lord. We know this because we too have our own groans and cries of anticipation. But still, God comes into the soundscape of the whole of life, as noisy as it is, discordant though it may be, and provides the very music of the spheres. Even as we all have our own personal playlist of the season, we are invited to hear again the still soul voice. Even here I am with you. Even yet I am coming. Even still, all things in Christ are made new, made whole, and made complete. God's good time. Have you ever considered the angel's opening line? Each and every time they have to come and deal with humanity, it has to be the same thing. Calm down, don't be afraid, this is good news. Really, it is. What patience it must take to deliver even the best news to we fearful souls. It's quite a process. First, you make your appearance, then you have to resuscitate people from absolute shock, and then you can get on with what needs to be said. God is here. His salvation is at hand. I wonder how often we are like Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. We're disinclined to hear and less given to listening, really listening to what God is saying. We gravitate instead to the more logical explanation. You may be a bit of undigested beef or a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more gravy than grave about you, whatever you are. That's how Scrooge encountered Marley at the beginning of the tale. We're given the sound, logical explanations of things and disinclined to listen too long to that which fails to suit our ears or make sense to our heads. I wonder, what do we miss of the pronouncements of God that ring in our time and our place that would see to its sight even our worried souls? Leaning again on Mr. Dickens, I wonder whether it can be said of us that we keep Christmas well, noting the occasion to hear again the glad tidings of great joy, and not a holiday bound with tradition, wrapped in familiarity, and trotted out, appreciated, and tucked away again, like our favorite Christmas sweater. I wonder, what are we afraid to hear? How might we miss the angels of today inviting us into what God is doing now? Christmas must be about opening ourselves to the way of God in the here and now every bit as much as it is about then. May God grant us the courage to encounter the song that is sung by the choirs of today and the keenness to stop in awe, knowing glory when we find it. Hear these words of hope from Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell among them as their God, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed." And the one who was seated at the throne said, see, I am making all things new. See, I am making all things new. That is the promise. That is the hope. That is our song in this season and in every season. As unchangeable as the seasons seem, as impossibly movable as the troubles of our lives can sometimes feel, this pronouncement, this is the hope that we have to keep before us. It's a matter of faith. Try though we might to prove that this is real and factual and correct, at the end of the day, this is our statement of faith. That the world of the kingdom remains under construction even yet, and that the way of God holds promise even here, even now. The way of faith is the way of hope. As a hope that the world is about to turn. None of which can be taken lightly. None of which can be discarded. Because hope is all too rare a commodity. We look at our world, we look at our problems, we look at our lives, and we struggle to know what is about to happen, what is real, or where the future leads. Yet time and again, that's exactly what we're invited into. When we look in these things, we're invited into hope. We're invited into promise to keep the vision of the new heaven and new earth coming still in front of our eyes, despite the evidence to the contrary. We know our lives can sometimes seem unchangeable and that the circumstances of the world formidable. Yet, hear this. God has dwelt, is dwelling, and will dwell among all people. This is about the work of God in the past, present, and future. God's hope rises even beyond the certainties of the day. God's reconciling vision promises that there is no place that God is not. This is the good news. A God has come and dwells among us, and hope remains alive. May the sweet sound of that everlasting song fill our ears, enliven our hearts, and send us marching forth again and again and again as God's future becomes our present and our forevermore. Merry Christmas is a declaration of hope. May it be so for you now. May it be so for you always. Amen.